to verse number 24. Genesis 14, and you can just hold that 14th chapter because we'll pretty much cover all of it, and I'll let you pronounce the names. How's that? What are you laughing for? You've already tried, haven't you? Amen. One of them in here, I'm just going to call him Cheddar. How's that? Amen. Praise God. George Bush can use nicknames, so can I. All right. Genesis 14, 21. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the most high God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went after me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Amen. Everybody say, not even a shoestring. Well, I ain't even going to take a shoestring. Amen. Not even a shoestring. That was Abram's response to the king of Sodom. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. That's what we're going to preach about tonight. Not even a shoestring. Praise God. This 14th chapter is the first time in all the Bible that we find people going, our nations going to war. Nation has come against nation. There were five kings that went against four kings, and it's the first time in the Bible. I'm not saying that it was the first war in history. We don't know whether it was or whether it wasn't, but it's the first one that's recorded in the Word of God. The only time the Bible talks about anything is when it pertains to the children of God. When it pertains to you and I, when it pertains to God's family, that's when he talks about it. Otherwise, he doesn't talk about things in history. There were many things that happened in history. We don't know. The Bible does not record because it doesn't pertain to the church of God and does not pertain to the family of faith. But God cares enough about you. If something affects you, he writes about it. Hallelujah. So these four kings, and they were mighty kings. And they came against the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and some of the Zoar and the environs that were round about Sodom and Gomorrah. And these kings were mighty kings. And they had gone to war against others in other times. And they had always been powerful. The kings of Sodom and Gomorrah represent the sensual life. As a matter of fact, they could very easily represent North America. When people are mostly interested, more than anything else, in material things and getting stuff, we are a nation that is in love with stuff. We are a nation that is in love with stuff. Amen. Some of our greatest problems right now, people are making more money than they've ever made in their lives. And have less to show for it. Amen. Because we have a love for stuff. Amen. Praise God. Some of you tonight, anybody here live in a house that's 40 years old, 50 years old? Amen. It's a little different, isn't it? When you live in an older house, you see, there's not very many plug-ins. That's one thing you notice. Because when it was built, all you needed was a fan if you were lucky enough to have one. Maybe a radio. You didn't have much electrical stuff. The closets, that's one of the main complaints about an older house. The closets are so small. Well, that tells you a little bit about the times, doesn't it? I mean, you had Sunday clothes and you had everyday clothes and that was it. Didn't take much. Oh, and there's not very much cabinet space. It's because you didn't need much cabinet space. Amen. You see, there was room for everything that you needed, and they just seem so small compared to what people are living in today. Amen. And griping all the time about how tough things are. I say, don't complain with your mouth full. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Don't complain with your mouth full. You've got you're blessed tonight, folks. And let's understand that we're blessed. And let's just learn how to take care of what we have. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so, but we're in a nation that is consumed with getting stuff. The second thing that Sodom represents, of course, is sin named after Sodom. They represent sexual licentiousness. It was a city that was totally given to the pursuit of sexual objects. It was a city that was given to greed, as it was. Amen. Yes, it was. And I'm sorry to say it tonight, but that's the path that America has taken. It's embarrassing to stand in a grocery line and look at the newsstand. The things that graced the cover of a magazine on a newsstand now would have been considered pornography a few years ago. We are given to sensuality, and we're given to sexuality. And I'm talking about as a nation. That's where we are, and that's where we're headed. That's what our airways are filled with. Amen. It's everywhere you look. It's a travesty that we followed this path. But that was Sodom, and that was Gomorrah. Amen. And the nation that is in that condition has no spiritual strength. Has no spiritual strength, has no power to protect itself, is wide open to its enemies. And I'm sorry to say, but that's the condition that we are finding ourselves in. We have many people in our nation. Thank God there's still some strong people. Thank God there's still some righteous people. Thank God there's still some godly people. Amen. There's still some praying people. Amen. And that's what's keeping this nation afloat tonight. Amen. Praise God. Because we as a general, many people have lost their resolve. And if we can't win a battle in a short time, then let's just come home and give up and quit and say we're losers. Where's our resolve, folks? Amen. Where is stick-to-itiveness? Amen. Until you get the job done. Amen. We need to stick with some things. But it's a part of our culture, isn't it? Amen. If we don't have instant success, we don't have success at all. Because we lack resolve and discipline to stick with something until it's done. Amen. So what do we do? Even in our educational system, I'm not complaining and not being negative, please understand. But I do want to point out some things. I'm a very positive person. But I despise when we start dumbing down our educational system. When you lower the standard of education, what have you done? Well, we made it easier. It was so hard. It's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be hard. And it's not supposed to be easy. Amen. Excellence requires effort. Amen. If you're going to learn and you're going to do well and you're going to be something and you're going to accomplish some things, it's going to take some effort on your part. You can't stop. There's no shortcuts to that, folks. Amen. But people are just working, so let's just make it easier for them. No, let's don't make it easier. And then complain why we can't compete in the world market. You see, our enemies, they keep pursuing excellence. And we have to shoot above that mark. Amen. Praise God. And so, you see, this was a nation that found itself in trouble. And they were weak. And these strong kings came against them. There were only four kings, but mighty armies. As a matter of fact, we find that these kings were so powerful that they overcame the giants. There were two, in verse number 5, chapter 14, it mentions Rephaim's and Zuzim's, And these were two groups of people that giants came from. That's where Goliath came from. That's where his brothers came from. They from the tribe of Raphaim. And these were men that were anywhere from 8 to 10 foot tall. These were mighty men in the earth. But these four kings that came against the five kings ran over them as if they were nothing. And they marched and they came south whenever they began to quit paying their tribute. And so these kings came against Sodom and Gomorrah and the environs thereabout. And they chased them down to the valley, and they fell in tar pits, and they had all kinds of problems. But they made one mistake. They took Lot, Abram's nephew. They touched one of God's anointed. Just one. Now Lot was living in Sodom. Lot should not have been in Sodom, but Lot was in Sodom. And the Bible said, get this, his righteous soul was vexed daily. You see, you can live in a state and still be righteous, but be vexed every day. And that's where he was. He was there by choice. And sometimes we live in places we shouldn't be living. I'm not talking about geographically. I'm talking about spiritually. But we put ourselves in situations and then conditions that vex our spirit. And that's what happened to Lot. He was in that condition. Tragically, though Lot could survive, his family could not. And he lost his wife. And he lost all of his family. Not one of them was able to withstand the temptations of Sodom. Lot was strong enough, but nobody else was. Sir, you need to be sure that your family's protected. Sir, you need to live in a standard and in a lifestyle that you don't expose your family to the things that you might be tough enough to overcome, but they are not. And that was the condition that Lot found himself in. He was caught up and taken away when the enemy came in. Amen. The Bible said when the enemy, or when sin comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against it. Amen. In this case, the standard's name was Abram. We call him Abraham. Hallelujah. The standard God's going to raise up is a godly man, a godly woman. Praise God. Somebody that knows righteousness, somebody that knows prayer, and somebody that knows intercession, and somebody that knows how to fast and seek the face of God and know the Word of God and take a stand by faith with God, and you're going to win the victory. Amen. So the Bible said, I don't know how this guy got away, but there was a servant that got away when Lot was taken, and he ran to tell Abraham what had happened. He went in and he told Uncle Abe what had been going on. Amen. And Abraham, the Bible said, he turned around and he took with him some very special people. Let's look at this. Verse number 13, there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew. Amen. You know, that's a scripture there that helps you to understand that it's man's job to brew the coffee, Hebrews. Right. So, and he came and he told Abram the Hebrew. That's the first time in the Bible that it's called Hebrew. Only time he's called a Hebrew. But here he's called a Hebrew. Amen. Because he comes from the descendants of Eber. And so he's called a Hebrew. And now I want you to get where he was living. And the Bible says he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, the brother of Eshcol, the brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abram. So these names are significant tonight. I want you, now where was Lot living? Lot was living in Sodom. The word Sodom means burnt, parched. The word Gomorrah means ruin or heap. That's where Lot was living. But I want to show you where Abram was living. Abram was living in Mamre. That means fatness. And I know, you know, fat's out today. You know, the food police are trying to get us to, you know how it is. And trying to close Kentucky Fried Chicken and everything else, you know. That's all they've got to talk about. Lord have mercy. Amen. Kids can't even have candy in school anymore. It's ridiculous what's going on in this nanny state. You know, everybody's got to get in everybody's business. And little old things about what you put in your mouth, for goodness sakes. Amen. But anyway, neither here nor there. What the Bible says, the fat is the Lord's. So He loves some of us more than He does others. Or I should say, He has more of some of us than He does others. Amen. Is that fair? You know, you take comfort where you can get it. Amen. But the word Mamre means fatness or fullness. Abraham was living in a place of fullness. Praise the Lord. Abraham was living in a place, Eshkol means a bunch. Amen. It's a good bunch. Hallelujah. It comes, you remember when the spies went into the land of Canaan, and they came out carrying those, that one bundle of, or one group, a bunch of grapes on a stick, just one bunch. That's a pretty good bunch of grapes, isn't it? That was Eshkol, because it's a bunch. Amen. He was living in a place of plenty. He was living in a place of fatness and goodness. And then he was living in the place with Aner. The word Aner means withdrawn. They had withdrawn to a special place. We used to sing a chorus that said, shut in with God in a secret place, there in the spirit, beholding His face, gaining new power to run in this race. How I long to be shut in with God. That's withdrawn. That's what that's talking about. You see, Abraham had withdrawn from the world. It didn't mean, the Bible makes it plain, we are in the world, but not of the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. Amen. We're in the world, but the world is not in us. That's what you've got to make the difference tonight. Don't let the world get in you. Amen. You influence the world. You can either be a thermostat or you can be a thermometer. All the thermometer does, it doesn't affect anything. It just registered how things are. It goes up and down with the heat or the cold. It doesn't change anything. But a thermostat, if you set it on 70 degrees, it's going to keep the environment at 70 degrees. It affects its environment. God called us to be thermostats, not thermometers. He doesn't want us to just be up and down, amen, every day. You've never known folks like that. They're just up and down. Amen. This day they're up, and tomorrow they'll be down in the dumps, and they just can't find any level ground. Amen. But I want to be a thermometer, not a thermometer, but a thermostat that helps. You know, if somebody's down here, I want to bring them up here. Somebody said the job of ministry is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Amen. Praise God. One of the ministries of Jesus Christ, it said that He was to bring up the low places and bring down the high places. Amen. Praise God. So when we get too high and lifted up, and as my mom and dad used to say, too big for our britches, God has a way of bringing us down. Shake your head like this. Oh, yeah, He does. Amen. And when you get real low, He has a way of picking you up. Praise God. Amen. And so Abram was living in that kind of a place. He was a thermostat. Hallelujah. Amen. He was living in a place of fullness. But when he heard that his nephew was in trouble, the Bible says that he got his 318 trained men. I must say trained. That's why we believe in Sunday school around here. That's why we want to do youth ministry around here. That's why we want to get young people involved around here. We got to keep training, folks. Amen. We're just one generation away from extinction. I said, we're just one generation away from extinction. Praise God. So we got to keep reaching out to young people. We got to keep reaching out to children and train them. Praise God. Hallelujah. We need some on the platform right now. We need some young singers up here helping us old singers. We need some young musicians up here playing with our old musicians. We need somebody coming along behind us. Amen. Because one of these days, and who knows how long that's going to be, we're not going to be here. Amen. And we want to have that no gap. We just want somebody to step right in those shoes and keep right on going. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. And so Abram, he had some trained young men. And they went down, and the Bible said he pursued them all the way to Dan. Dan's the far north. It's as far as you can go up the Jordan River. He went all the way to the top of the territory. If that's what it took, he just kept on going. You see, after these four kings had won the spoils and taken Lot and taken all of his goods and taken the women and taken some of the people to make them slaves, and they took all of the possessions and all of the gold and all of the goods, and they had escaped. And when they got far enough away, they felt like they were safe. They decided it was time to party. And that's where Abram comes in. He comes upon them while they are celebrating, and the Bible says at night he divided his troops, and they went in, praise God, and they attack. Does anybody say 318 men? Now, he may have had some others that went with him. I don't know, because there were some other men involved in their families. But there were 318 trained men that I know of. And those 318 men, by the grace of God, did what five kings and their armies could not do. Did what the families of the giants could not do. Do what no one else had ever done. I mean, whenever they got through those four kings that had been toughies and the bullies and had come down and beat up on Sodom and Gomorrah, they began to run for their lives. And the Bible says that Abraham and his army pursued them. When they started running, they didn't give up. They went after them. Let me tell you something. When you get the devil on the run, go after him. Amen. Don't stop short. Just keep going. Praise God. Amen. Until you have an absolute victory. Didn't stop for anything. He chased him to a place. The Bible says there's a place by the name of Hobah. And that's, he chased them to that place, which means hidden. It means they started hiding from him. You chase the devil until he starts looking for a hole. And he gets in it and pulls it in over him. Amen. That's when you finally take a breath. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anybody interested in victory here tonight? Praise God. Anybody interested in victory here tonight? Anybody believe that we have victory tonight? I did not say we're going to have. I said we do have. Amen. Jesus Christ has put his enemies beneath his feet. Amen. And you know who you are? You are the body of Christ. So if you are the body of Christ, even if you're the foot or the skin on the bottom of the foot, your enemies are beneath you. Amen. The only way they can get above you is if you let them in your head. Amen. The devil gets in your ear and he starts talking to you and he starts saying things to you. And if you will listen to him, he can conquer you. Amen. But if you understand, I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. I have the victory. Hallelujah. I walk in victory. I live in victory. Praise God. Not going to. I do. But Brother Grissom, you know, I'm just the worrying kind. Well, change. What good has it done you? What does that mean? I don't think so. I think it was good. Quit worrying. Start believing. Start praying. Start praising. Start living in victory. God's going to take care of it. God's going to take care of it. But Brother Grissom, what if it doesn't? Quit worrying. Keep believing. Keep believing. Keep believing. Keep believing. You'll do a lot more with your faith than you will with your worry. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, faith just keeps looking for an answer. It just keeps... I'm not saying it happens instantly, but it just keeps looking till it finds one. It keeps expecting one. It's like the people were in drought one time, and they called a special prayer meeting. Everybody came with their sunglasses on, but one little girl came with an umbrella. She was expecting, I'm going to need this thing because we're praying for rain. And I believe God's going to send it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so Abram was a man of faith. And he won the great victory. One that five kings and their armies could not win. One that the giants could not win. Amen. But Abram and his 318 trained servants, by the grace of God, won. He's got Lot now. He has the women. He has the people. He has, the Bible says, all the goods. Probably also the goods that he got from the kings that had come down. And they're headed back. He's going back now to, and the Bible says, verse number 17, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return. Where was he when the battle was going on? Home licking his wounds. But after his return, the king of Sodom goes out. Amen. Now, there's a parenthesis here in the scripture. Now, it's not there literally, but it is there. Verse number 18 interjects. It starts telling this story about the king of Sodom, and then it puts a little parenthesis in there about something that happened before he got home. The Bible says, verse 18, and Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him, Abram, and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. Amen. And so I want you to get this picture. Now, so Abram is coming home, and he's passing by this place called Salem. Right outside of Salem, there's a little valley called Valley of the Kings. In the New Testament, it's called the Valley of Kidron. There's a little brook that runs through that valley, and it's on the eastern side of Jerusalem. And about 1,500 years later, a man by the name of Jesus Christ walked out of that eastern gate and went down through that valley of Kidron, crossed over through Kidron, over into a place called the Garden of Gethsemane, and there he warred for our souls. But it was at this valley, and that's where Melchizedek, the word Melchizedek, he's quite a character. He appears just suddenly here. We don't know where he came from. And Genesis is given to genealogy, if you hadn't noticed that. And so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat... How many times are you going to sleep reading that? And so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. Yeah? And he lived to be so many years old, and he begat so-and-so. They doesn't do that with Melchizedek. He just appears. There he is. And then he's gone. Psalm 110, he appears again. And referring to the ministry of Jesus Christ. And in the book of Hebrews, he appears again. But that's it. Paul says he had no beginning of days, no ending of days. And he likens the priesthood of Jesus Christ to the priesthood of Melchizedek. He just is this king that appears out of nowhere. Some people believe he was a theophany, or God in a physical form for a brief time. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know who he was. I just know that his name means King of Righteousness. And he was King of Salem, which is King of Peace. Hallelujah. When you have righteousness, you have peace. And for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so Melchizedek, then he comes out to the valley and he meets Abram on his way home. And what does he do? The Bible says he served him bread and wine. What did Jesus do at the Last Supper? He broke the bread and served the wine and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is shed for the New Testament." This is a prefiguring of the ministry and the life of Jesus Christ. Amen. And Abram met that man there in that particular King's Valley. Hallelujah. Or the Valley of Kidron. And he encouraged him there. And he blessed him there. He said, "Blessed be Abram." And he calls him the servant of El Elyon, the Most High God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And he calls the Lord possessor of heaven and earth. And the Bible said he blessed the Most High God, which hath delivered thee. He's given glory to God. What he's doing for Abram, he's saying this. He said, "Don't you forget, Abram, who won this victory. Don't you forget who gave this to you. And don't you forget that everything is his. He's the possessor of the heavens and the earth. It all belongs to him." Hallelujah. Hey, you know what, folks? I read somewhere, I believe it was Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. "But my God shall supply all your need." Hallelujah. "But my God shall supply all your need." Amen. "According to his riches in Christ Jesus." Amen. He's the one that has the riches tonight. He's the possessor of heaven and earth. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. And so Abram then, the Bible says he paid tithe of all that he possessed. And he gave it to Melchizedek. That's the first time we find tithing, the principle of tithing, in Scripture. The lesser paying to the greater. He's given tithe to honor God for all that he has done for Abram. Amen. It's just giving glory to God, giving thanks to God, honoring God with what the Lord had given to him. Praise God. And so then Abram, after he has this great blessing and this wonderful time of fellowship with this great man of God, he begins to make his way then on to Sodom. And the Bible says, verse 21, "The king of Sodom said unto Abram," now here he comes, and he says, and this is very, very subtle. The devil's always subtle. He said, "Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself." Now that sounds innocent enough. I mean, after all, really it was Abram's. He'd conquered. He took it back. By all rights, it was his. It did belong to him. Isn't that right? He was the victor. He's the one that went after the kings and took it back. By all rights, it was his. He should have been able to keep it. If he wanted to, it was his. It didn't even belong to the king of Sodom. But you can see the spirit and the attitude of the king of Sodom. He feels like he's being generous for giving Abram what Abraham went and took back. That's just like the devil. He thinks he made this thing. Amen. You know what? You know what the devil really has? Nothing. God made everything that is. It all belongs to him. He's called the God of this world, but you know, he don't have anything. He's so presumptuous. Remember when he took Jesus up at the pinnacle of the temple, and he showed him all the kingdoms of this world. And he said, "And I will give this." It's not his to give. It's not his to give. Isn't that presumptuous? And here's the king of Sodom doing the same thing. He's telling Abram, now Abram, you can keep all of the stuff, just give me the people. As if it was his to give. But Abram had been with the Lord, praise God. Hallelujah. He'd spent some time praising God. He'd spent some time thinking about how good the Lord had been. He spent some time thinking about what God had done for him. And so he did not fall for that. Amen. So what did he say? Let's read it again. He said, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And what he's saying is, this is what I told the Lord before he ever saw the king of Sodom. Abram had already made a vow to God, and this was what he told the Lord. He said, I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet. Or a shoestring is what he's saying. Amen. Not even a shoestring. Not even a shoestring. Amen. And he said, I will not take that is thine. And here's the reason. He understands something. Lest thou should say, I have made Abram rich. You see, what Abram wanted was for God to get all of the glory. And he was willing to forego some things and give up some things if God would get the glory. If God would get the glory. You know, there are some things that may not be wrong, but we just give up that God can get the glory. There may be some things that I could get by with and get to heaven, but I just give up so that God may get the glory. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. If a shoestring, if the devil's going to give me as much as a shoestring and it's going to take from the glory of God, I don't want it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. He said, there's some things that I'm just not going to do because I don't want it to control my life. Amen. There's nothing wrong with it. I don't like to hear people, and this is a preference, but I don't like to hear people talk about what they have to have. I've just got to have this or I've got to have that. No, you don't. It would be good if you would take that out of your vocabulary. Amen. You don't need those things. I'm dying for a Dr. Pepper. Oh, there's nothing wrong with a Dr. Pepper, but if you're dying for one, you might better give it up for a while. If there's anything that's got that much of a hold on you, you might need to give it up for a little while. Amen. He said, I'm not going to be brought under the power of any. Nothing's going to control my life. Praise God. Amen. Not anything's going to take that much control over me. And it would be good if we would still have that kind of discipline in our lives. Praise God. Hallelujah! Not even a shoestring. Not even a shoestring. Amen. Anything that's going to take away from the glory of God, he said, I just don't want it. Praise God. There are some things, folks, that it's all right, but you need to get your priorities straight. You remember in the scripture, Jesus was invited by a lady by the name of Martha to come to her house. And he went. So Jesus went to Martha's house, and Jesus did what Jesus does in just being who he is. Amen. Mary, Martha's sister, she was just enthralled and fell in love with Jesus. And she was just sitting at his feet, listening to everything that he had to say, paying intent attention to every detail. Well, you know what Martha was doing? Martha was in there getting supper ready. And she was cussing Pentecostal style. What's that mean? Banging pots and pans and slinging stuff and throwing stuff. Murmuring under her breath and faces red. She's not saying anything, but her attitude says it. I said her attitude says it. I said her attitude says it. Huh? Now, you know what I'm talking about, do you? I'm sorry, I went right over your head with that. Amen. Praise God. And her attitude, she's just so mad at her sister. And she's mad at Jesus. Because he's not doing anything to help the situation. She's just mad at the whole world. And she's the one that invited him. This whole supper thing was her idea. He didn't ask for it. Amen. That was her idea. And so here she is. She's all busy and she's all stressed. She's stretched to the limit. She's mad. And she had all she could take. So finally she slung down the final pen. She marched in there where Jesus was. And she said, Lord, and let me just paraphrase a little bit. I'm in there trying to get supper ready and Mary's just sitting here at your feet. Why don't you tell her to get up and come help me? Amen. You get the picture. That's neat. And let's see what Jesus said. Here's what he said. He said, Martha, Martha. He said, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Boy, does that describe some people. Thou art full of care. That's what careful means. Thou art full of care. The Bible said one of the things you got to watch out for the end times is cares of this life. Just too much stuff pressing down on you, and most of it doesn't amount to anything. Huh? We get so stressed about things that don't matter at all. And that's Martha. He said, thou art careful and troubled about many things. And he said, but one thing, everybody say one thing. Not many things, one thing. But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen, everybody say chosen. You got to choose it. You have to select it. You have to say, this is what I will do. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Let me tell you something. What you get at the feet of Jesus, this world didn't give it to you, and this world can't take it away. The peace that you get in His presence, this world didn't give it to you, and this world can't take it away. The joy and the peace and the righteousness you receive in the presence of the Lord, the world didn't give it to you, and the world can't take it away. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. This world, it's doing its very best to drag us down. And we've got to choose that good part. We've got to do like Abram. We've got to spend a little time with Melchizedek, the King of Righteousness, the King of Glory, the King of Peace. Hallelujah. Amen. In His presence is fullness of joy, and at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lord. Amen. Praise God. This world offers a lot of things, but that's all they are things. The Bible said that all that is in the world, the things that are in the world, amen, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, amen, that's what's there. None of those things are fulfilled, and none of those things can satisfy. There's only one thing that can satisfy, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. We need folks to learn again how to cast our cares on Him. Learn how to lean on Him. Amen. Learn how to lean on Him. That's so important in this age and this hour. Praise God. There used to be a song that people sang years ago. It's called Sweet Hour of Prayer. Amen. Praise God. And it talked about drawing us out of the cares of this life. Amen. And you know, that's what we need, that time with the Lord, folks. We got to have that time with the Lord. That's what sets the tone for life. It's what sets the tone for the day. That's what gives peace to you in the night. Amen. Praise God. That's what brings sleep to your eyes and rest to your body, is learning how to cast all of your cares upon Him. Because He really does care for you. Praise God. He really does care tonight. But we've got to learn how to give it all to Jesus. Give it all to Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Because it matters. We can give it to Him. We can find rest. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Give them all. Oh, give them all. Give them all to Jesus. Broken dreams, wounded hearts, broken toys. Give them all. Give them all. Give them all to Jesus, and He will turn your sorrows into joy. Give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus. Broken dreams, wounded hearts, broken toys. Give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus, and He will turn your sorrows into joy. Amen. Would you do it right now? Oh, give them all. Give them all. Give them all to Jesus. Wounded hearts and broken toys. Give them all. Give them all. Give them all to Jesus. And He will turn your sorrows into joy. Amen. Why don't we do that right now? Let's give some cares to the Lord here tonight. Some burdens that you've been carrying. Some problems that you've just worried about and you've tried to solve. You can't seem to work it out. Why don't we just give it to the Lord right now? Praise God. Hallelujah. Why don't you just give it to the Lord right now? Jesus, here's an old burden that I've been carrying. Amen. And I need you to take it because I can't seem to solve it. I can't work things out. Amen. But you can help me today. You can make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. Amen. Praise God. You have answers. And you have solutions. Where I seem only to have confusion. Amen. And heaviness of heart. Help us today, Lord, to learn to lean on You. Hallelujah. Help us today, Lord, to learn how to cast our cares upon You. The Bible said, cast your cares upon Him. He cares for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, give them all. Give them all. Give them all to Jesus. Broken dreams, wounded hearts, broken toys. Give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus, and He will turn your sorrows into joys. Oh, give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus. Wounded wounds, broken hearts, broken toys. Yes, give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus, and He will turn your sorrows into joys. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the name of Jesus.